Wyoming, the financial center of the known universe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen was delivering the keynote speech today at the Central Bankers Annual Gathering in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Her words are being scrutinized for hints about when her team might raise interest rates. On Fridays, we check in with Christopher Lowe, chief economist for FTN Financial in New York. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
Now, many are betting that Janet Yellen and team will decide to raise interest rates next June. But the head of the St. Louis Fed spoke today, suggesting the first quarter of next year is when the moment of reckoning could happen. March? Really?
Look, this is a reminder. James Bullard has actually been pushing for a first quarter rate increase for a while, and his may not even be the earliest. The Fed publishes something they call the dot plot. It's a chart of where everybody on the FOMC thinks the rate should be, and there's one of them that's angling for a rate hike this year.
We don't know which one. The dots are not actually labeled by name, but the debate within the Fed about when to raise rates seems to be getting louder.
And that's, I think, the interesting thing. This is still, we think, a minority, but we're beginning to put names on them. And, you know, what's noteworthy is they're not all for the same reasons. Some of these guys are pushing for early rate hikes because they're worried about inflation. Others are saying, no, let's just normalize rates. We've done all we can do.
Now, we may pick up some further nuance about this in a couple minutes when Dr. Yellen begins her speech in Wyoming. I'll pass along the text as soon as I get it to you on the road out there, Chris.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Especially since none of us economists were invited this year from Wall Street. They're sticking to central bankers.
Yeah, I happen to notice that some of your Wall Street colleagues were not invited to economics palooza going on out there in Wyoming right now. What did you do?
Well, I tell you what, we're choosing to believe Yellen's explanation for that, which is it's really complicated right now. We want to get as many central bankers into the room as we can.
Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
The Wall Street Journal reports the Justice Department is looking into the conduct of lawyers at General Motors who may have concealed information about faulty and fatal ignition switches. This would be a tough case for the government to win, experts say, because of attorney-client privilege. An internal GM report found the company's legal team to be secretive and mentioned that note-taking by lawyers at meetings was discouraged. When we say European sanctions on Russia for its support of separatists in Ukraine, Europe in this case does not include Switzerland. That also means that Switzerland is not included in the retaliatory ban on European food imports imposed by Russia. The BBC's Geneva correspondent Imogen Folks reports from neutral Switzerland.
I'm trying to hear if we have some holes inside the cheese.
Anthony Margot's great-grandfather made cheese for the Russian Tsars. Today, Anthony is checking a huge wheel of Gruyere. Soon it will be on its way to Russia too.
Gruyere must have no holes.
Now that fresh produce from EU member states is banned, the Russians want much more cheese from the Swiss.
Oh la la, yes. Since last Wednesday we received maybe 15 calls from Russia every day. A lot of inquiries to import cheese or dairy products, but unfortunately it's impossible from Switzerland to export all that they want.
The ripe Gruyere being loaded onto pallets was ordered months ago, most of it by Europe, not Russia. Anthony and his fellow Swiss cheesemakers don't have the capacity to exploit the huge gap in the market left by French Camembert or Italian mozzarella. Still, the fact they can sell to Russia at all puts Switzerland's position on sanctions in the spotlight. Clinging as ever to its historic neutrality, the Swiss government won't adopt them, but says Switzerland won't be a place to break them either.
Oui, c'est bien.
The spectre of French Bank Paribas, fined over £5 billion last June by the US for breaking American sanctions against Iran, Sudan and Cuba, should be a warning to the Swiss financial sector, says Otmar Wyss, former head of export control in the Swiss government.
Today, if Swiss bank or financial intermediaries try to circumvent US or EU sanctions, this would be absolutely crazy. Following the debates, the lessons learned by Paribas, and I can't imagine that there are Swiss banks which would dare to circumvent such sanctions. I mean, it's just would be suicide.
So what might have been possible for Swiss business during the sanctions against apartheid South Africa doesn't seem likely now. The EU, Switzerland's biggest trading partner, would prefer the Swiss to adopt all its sanctions against Russia.
The BBC's Imogen Folks in Switzerland there. Former Vice President Al Gore is suing Al Jazeera America, which purchased Gore's current TV channel last year. As part of the original deal, $85 million was put into escrow. Gore and a business partner say they were supposed to get most of that money back last month. The suit alleges Al Jazeera fraudulently drew down this account. The U.S. arm of the Qatar-based news network is not commenting directly, but took a jab at what it called Gore's celebrity lawyer, David Boies, the man who went after Microsoft during the big antitrust case and who represented Gore during the fight over the 2000 election. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.